time to go viral. I'm a sidewall, I'm killing all my rivals. I'm the man, should I put that on the Bible? I Spotify my target, cause you know I got the title. Hey, I'm a Mac too. I told baby shake that ass like she Apple. She said it's real, so she got my name tattooed. House full, so I hit it in the back room. Baby said she need a nail, peep the urgency. I want a little Kim before she had the surgery. Leg spread on that hardcore poster. She love twerking, she just do it for the coach. Big dog, bull master. Six tray Chevrolet, I'm classic. All these niggas mad at me, that's tragic. So main bitch in the bed, that's graphic. Yeah, we about to go viral.
Yo, what's the deal? Welcome back, people. Shout out to the whole viral gang. Y'all know what to do. Share, like, subscribe to the channel. We got one of them ones for y'all today. Y'all know when I say one of them ones, I really mean one of them ones, man. This is a culture shifter. This is for the culture. You already know we speaking for the culture, from the culture. So this going to be a treat for y'all, man. As always, we got Messiah in the building. What's the deal, bro?
Yeah, we in this bitch, man. This shit regular now. Y'all already know what time it is. Expect that good shit and come here for the facts and no cap.
You already know the villain is in the building. We got Mr. Flocko in the building. Flocko, what's the word?
I'm taking Brandon's place today, man. Right? I'm Uncle Ruckus today, right?
Hey, okay, okay. We got a new Ruckus.
One Uncle Ruckus, man.
Hey, Ruckus, he's coming for your spot, man.
God bless the white man.
And we got the man of the hour in the building. Yo, that's crazy work. Hey, we got the man of the hour in the building. Yeah. Now, if y'all don't know, y'all finna get familiar. We got the biggest hip-hop YouTuber from the UK.
UK's finest.
And we got him in the city. He came all the way to Long Beach to holler at the viralists. I want to welcome Mr. Trap Lore Ross. What's the deal, man?
Hey, let's get it, man. First time in Long Beach, you know?
Come on, and you came with the right ones. You feel me? Indians and Raiders. Y'all know if you know, you know.
Hey, come on. Let's get it.
So, I was already familiar with your work, but knowing that you was coming to do the interview, I went down a couple rabbit holes and I watched a couple interviews because I don't like repeating what other people said. I don't like being too cliche. And what I noticed was a pattern of everybody taking the same angle, trying to be the savior for the culture and really putting you in the hot seat and pressing you. Not saying we not going to put you in the hot seat to press you, but the way they go about it, it was like a kid in a candy store. You just like, just playing chess. You just pretty much was playing with them, just lapping them. So first of all, for a lot of people that don't know you or is not familiar with you, why don't you give them a little rundown of where you from? And how'd you get the name Trap Lore Ross? Because even I was kind of curious about that. I saw your explanation, but I feel like you just made that shit up on the fly real quick.
Low key,
I think you made that shit up on the fly. I'm not going to lie.
Nah, you're kind of right. But yeah, man, I come from the UK. I come from a small town in the south of England called Bognor Regis. You'd have never heard of it. It's a tiny little town by the beach. The least hip-hop place you could possibly imagine. Like, there's no hip-hop, no rappers, no nothing going on. I'm just from, like, just nowhere. But, man, I've just always been a fan of hip-hop. I kind of grew up, like, where the internet was kind of first really taking over the culture. And, like, you know, I was downloading rap songs from LimeWire and getting into hip-hop. I had two older brothers that one of them used to make hip-hop beats. One of them used to rap. And I would just soak up Source and Game and just listen to all the artists that they were listening to, listen to all the music, steal CDs and records, hip-hop rappers and stuff. In this small town, there was nothing going on, but, like, hip-hop just became this, like, really just, like, it just became my obsession, really, to be honest. Like, listening to hip-hop albums, listening to Jay-Z albums, 50 Cent, Eminem, and just hearing these stories that were just so different from what my life experience was like. And I really just kind of, I guess I'd say I, like, fell in love with the culture. I fell in love with hip-hop. And it just became my favorite thing. I'd never been into sports. You know, in the UK, everyone loves soccer. I've just been hip-hop, rap, fanatic. That's all I've been into my whole life, even though I'm from this really random place. And, you know, fortunately, later in my life, I found YouTube and I managed to kind of create documentaries about hip-hop history. The kind of rappers and stories that I would just be interested in, I would just be online for hours doing research, finding out, you know, how did Jay-Z come up? Like, what was 50 Cent's backstory? Like, where did Eminem from? Just all this stuff. And then eventually I started just kind of regurgitating stories that really resonated with me, and that shit just kind of took off faster than I ever would have thought it would, to be honest.
So that's what really got you motivated to start vlogging the way you do?
Well, I used to do a whole bunch of different stuff. Like, I used to do, like, stand-up comedy back in the day, and I used to shoot rap videos for other rappers, like, in my area, or I moved to London, which is, like, the biggest city in the UK from where I grew up, and, like, I just linked up with, like, underground rappers in the city, started shooting their music videos. So I wanted to just be involved in hip-hop some way. I was doing comedy. I was filming skits and sketches on YouTube. But it's really when I started doing the like documentaries, sort of telling the hip hop history, the stuff that I was just super into, it just connected with people. Cause I think people could really see like the passion that I have for the music is just genuine. Like I just love hip hop. I love hip hop music. I love following rappers' stories and just understanding like where they're coming from, their life story, you know, what they've been through, the struggle, the art. Like I just love that shit. And just, you know, eventually I was able to share that passion with the world.
Hey, shout out to LimeWire, shout out to BearShare, shout out to HipHopGame.com, HipHopHavoc.com,
hey, DatPiff,
Soul.com, DatPiff, all the classic hip-hop sites, you feel me? I definitely was up on that back in the day.
Sure.
But I got a question for you because you speak a lot about hip-hop, and I believe you're a fan of killers. So I want to ask, are you a fan of the art as far as hip-hop, or are you really a fan of serial killers? Because to me, it seems like it went from hip-hop and now this infatuation with the killers. Now, let's be honest, the world loves killers. We all love killers. I don't care. You could put the richest people in the room, Bill Gates, Jeff Bezos, anybody. If a killer walks in that room, he's now the center of attention.
Yeah.
Because it's to kill someone is like taboo. Yeah. And most people actually dream about doing it. I believe most people fantasize about doing it. What it feels like to kill somebody. So to know someone had the heart to do it, is we almost fall in love with it, especially because we program through videos, video games, action movies. We love killers.
We are captivated by killers. Love is like, yo, we love like what they do, which is right. I don't think we love what they do.
You love what they do. Love, because if they didn't do what they do, if they didn't do what they do, you wouldn't be getting the bankroll you getting.
That's a fact. You wouldn't be Flacco. He wouldn't be Traveller Ross, 1.7 million subscribers, if it wasn't for killers.
Wait, sorry. He actually loves them, because listen, because he got a King Von tattooed on him.
I was going to get to that. Yeah, that's a little crazy. Yeah, that's another level of fan.
He might love him. I don't.
That's okay. That's a little crazy. So are you really captivated and do you love serial killers? Because I feel like that's where it went from hip-hop to, damn, they really catching bodies. Yeah. Yeah. And that's where your focus is at right now.
So let me go back to the start to answer that question, because when I first started out doing the hip-hop stuff that was taking off, I was covering a lot of like hip hop beefs, but it wasn't necessarily violence. Like one of the first viral videos I had was about the Rick Ross 50 Cent beef, right? And that was more about like two rappers that didn't get along kind of cracking jokes at each other, you know, 50's taking out Rick's baby mama shopping and all this kind of stuff. That was one of my first viral videos. And that was more of like a rap beef, but I'll just keep it real. I would say my career has followed along with the overall hip hop game, because I feel like in that time, when I first started doing hip hop videos about the history of like rap beefs and stuff like that, I don't think the murder music was as popular as it is now. Like that, we're talking probably like late 2018, going into 2019, that I was doing that kind of story. I think it was that 2019, 2020, when the drill music kind of really had a resurgence, when you had a guy like King Von come back, you had a lot of like street rappers, drill music talking about real crimes on wax that you could actually go and look up. And I think that the murder music became extra popular over the last like maybe 3-4 years. And I think I kind of adapted as far as like, these were the stories that people wanted to know about. People wanted to know about DaBaby killing a guy at Walmart. That was a huge story. So that was like one of my first stories that I did that was kind of about the sort of violent side of hip hop. It wasn't a gang story, but it was like, yo, DaBaby was at Walmart and he got pressed and he pulled a gun and he shot someone and he beat the case. And that again, that was one of the first crime. It was almost like a mesh between like a hip hop documentary and a crime documentary about DaBaby and his situation. And then obviously, like within maybe 6 months of that, that's when King Von really burst onto the scene in like summer of 2019. I did a couple videos about Von way back when he was alive, right? And that was like one of the early times. I wasn't the first person to do it. There were other people like Trap Geek doing documentaries about Von, basically saying, yo, this guy says he's killing people in his songs. And I think he actually is. Like we looked up, you know, he's his case from 2017. They like, he beat the case, but these are the facts of it. And I think that like, in that time, like the murder music and the idea of like rappers that are really killing people, I think that really took off. Not to say that there weren't rappers that didn't kill people before that, but it was like that period when drill music just became all about, yo, who's got bodies? That kind of like, I feel like that kind of changed the game. And I feel like I was part of that wave. I wouldn't say that I love killers. I always try and put a respectful tone in my stories to say things like, you know, this isn't okay. The violence has to stop. But on the flip side, I also like to say like King Von, his father was killed by a sniper when he was 11. Like he's been through some crazy situations. He's been around death and violence his whole life. I'm not giving him a pass for the people he allegedly killed, but like he comes from one of the most, you know, tough environments that you could imagine. He's been put in kill or be killed situations. You could say he got good at killing and he seemingly did it a lot. But it's like, for me, my passion and my obsession is just like whatever the popular music is at the time, like really helping people understand it. I think unfortunately, just in the last few years, the music's gotten very violent and it's gotten about who's got bodies and who's beat a body. And I think it's like, I'm kind of part of, I would say, like a bigger trend that's quite dark in the hip hop community. But I wouldn't say I'm obsessed with killing, but I do love drill music. I like the energy of drill music. I feel like drill music gives you a window into a world which is not really getting reported on, you know? Like the types of stories that you hear in drill music, they're not really getting reported on by mainstream media, or they weren't back when this scene kind of started to blow up a little bit more and like more drill rappers were becoming mainstream artists. Does that kind of make sense?
Yeah. Do you think the videos you make the younger crowd more fascinated and makes them to a point where they feel like now they have to live up to these other people that you do documentaries on?
I personally wouldn't say that that's true. I would personally say that, like, if I'm completely honest, I feel like if there's one thing that makes the killing look cool, it is the music. Like, Von makes killing someone look cool. I feel like my documentary about Von, it tells you the story. It tells you who killed who and what happened and where everyone came from, where everyone ended up. But I always try and end my stories with like a responsible tone to say like, yo, this isn't cool. I'm not condoning this activity. The streets, you know, can only end one of two ways. This isn't something that you should be getting involved in. I think if you contrast that with Von's music, and I love Von's music, but he makes murdering people seem cool and fun and like lit, because it's a song, it's aggressive. You know, Von doesn't end his songs by saying, yo, by the way, murdering's bad, we shouldn't do that. But I try and put that in my video. So what I'm trying to do is take this very violent, dark energy that's in drill music right now, explain what it's all about, and then give a responsible take to say like, yo, this isn't what we should be aspiring to be doing, but this is what's going on.
I believe the docs are making people do what he says, because I follow Chicago Scene 88 and a couple of the bloggers out there in Chicago, and they are literally saying like, bro, dudes is doing drills and like, hey man, go watch what they got, the Spot 'em, whatever the fuck it's called out there.
Spot News.
Yeah. I just put somebody on Spot News, blog about it, put my name in it. Like, these niggas is trying to get the clout off of that because they know the police ain't trying to solve cases.
Yeah.
Police know what the fuck they doing. The only time they close a case is after they die. Like, oh yeah, we had them for all these bodies. We was about to get them. Man, you knew what the fuck was going on. They got the video footage of the murders. They went all the way back to Lil Jojo on the bike. And this was 2012, and they been had all this shit.
Bully.
I seen them arrest 051 Melly and 8 Man. You don't know who this is? Mm. It's such and such.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So they know what's going on. Even the police are watching these docs. So I believe it is making the kids want to go out and drill even more than the music. Because the music is like, all right, you're rapping about it, but we know most rappers was CB4 before drill. For the most part, these niggas was lying. Now that the docs line up with the music, it kind of collided both worlds. It was like, shit, I got to do a drill or I can't even rap out here. How the fuck I'm going to be rapping about all this shit? And they like, hold on, you ain't really got no bodies. We ain't seen it on YouTube. You ain't FaceTiming no ops talking about the niggas that you killed. So I know for a fact you don't have a guilty conscience about it, but I'm going to just ask just for the fuck of it. Do you feel guilty that you're amping up possibly kids to want to go do drills to make your documentary?
I personally just completely disagree that I'm amping people up to do drills. I think when I make a documentary, I make doing a drill seem like very bad. Like in my documentaries, I make it seem like, yo, you do a drill, you're probably going to get killed next. You're probably going to do a drill and you're probably going to die in a month. The amount of people that I cover, this guy killed this person and then 2 months later, he was in the ground too. And that's not a cool thing. I would like to think that any young guy that's affiliated with a gang that watches one of my videos, yeah, they might think it's interesting and cool and that Von was a cool guy. But I would like to think that you wouldn't come away from that thinking like, yo, I'm trying to be Von, because Von's dead. And unfortunately, the way that Von's story ended up was very sad. I think you're more likely to hear Von's music where he's talking about we're smoking on Tuco and we're sliding and we're getting the bodies. Like, I feel like that actually gives you that energy of like, I want to be like Von. I think if you see my documentary where Von ends up dead at the end and it's all very fucked up, I don't think that you would come away from that thinking like, yo, I'm trying to be like him. Like the same with Chicago Scene 88. I think he's a really interesting one because I feel like when you watch his documentaries, yeah, he's telling you about who killed who and who shot who and what went down. But even just like the way the music's playing, the way the voice sounds, it's very sad and fucked up. Like if you watch a Chicago Scene 88 video, you kind of come away from it feeling like, yo, that's like a horror movie, fucked up shit. I don't want to be in that. So that's my opinion. As far as having a guilty conscience, I don't have a guilty conscience because I think I'm just responsibly reporting on stuff that's really going on that is very negative. But what I do feel is I think some people think that I just talk about murders and it's all just a bit of fun. But this shit really does affect me, man. Like the amount of, you know, young teenage guys that I'm reading about that are losing their lives. I'm reading about their families. I'm reading about the reports from, you know, their mothers and their grandparents talking about what they feel like losing their child. Seeing someone like Mama Duck, you know, breaking down on social media. She's lost two kids to this gang war. And that shit affects me. Like, I'll be honest, like, that's the kind of thing that keeps me up at night when I read reports of, like the families and mothers that have lost their sons to the streets. And that shit really does affect me. Like, I don't want people to think, like, I'm just out here just having a laugh about at people's expense. Like, it does break my heart. I wish there was something I could do to help and do something positive in the community. There's things that I do want to do when I get bigger and I have more influence and more money where I could actually try and help in communities. But I think at this stage, like, my mission is to just try and take these stories that are very popular, very violent, and tell them in a way that's responsible. That's what I'm trying to do. I know some people maybe don't feel like it comes across that way, but that's really my mission.
Yeah, because a lot of that from their perspective, they are already in that war zone. Like you said, it's already treacherous. They already brought up to kill. They damn near trained to kill at that point where they at. So by them seeing those type of videos, they're already, they don't have to aspire to be like King Von, because it's a lot of people that's already living like King Von. And on top of that, they might want to outdo King Von. Oh, he didn't call 10. Oh, I need to catch 12 or whatever the case it may be. And now, like he just said, they're going to see this next week when they're posting this on the internet. Oh, we just knocked your boy off this week. We did this that week. And I think by you doing what you do, it does heighten it. It does feel like, do you feel like that can interrupt their life also? Because I've seen they did a whole, what was that? A police report off of one of your videos?
Now, that wasn't true.
That wasn't true?
That was fake news.
Yeah, that was cap.
Oh, that was cap. Yeah.
They said, I think in the FBG Duck case, it was not true, but they said, like, oh, it was the same fake news they did on Vlad for the AR Rab case.
Right.
They said, like, oh, the judge thanked, like, YouTube documentary makers for cracking the case, but it was fake news.
I thought it was the Dolph case.
They said a similar thing in the Dolph case, but I hadn't actually covered the Dolph case. So people were saying, oh, okay, Ross's video got Dolph caught up. At the time, I hadn't done a video on Dolph's murder.
So it was cat.
I did a video on Dolph in like 2019 before he died. And then, like, even with Duck, I hadn't done the video about Duck when I think the arrest had been made. But they were saying it was my fault, but I hadn't actually made that video yet. So the timeline didn't really add up. But back to what you were saying, I would say, like, I think the interesting thing is, it's like, I know it's easy to kind of look at my stuff and be like, oh, so you're talking about all of these murders and you may be influencing people in the areas. But bro, if you're from O Block, if you're from that area, you're not hearing about that shit from me for the first time. You're from O Block, you know all the stories from around the area about what someone like Von was getting
You
up.
Probably know more than they know in their own damn hood.
I probably know a lot of the details.
You probably know more of the politics for sure.
I'll be trying, man.
You be having streets, blocks, motherfucking back to when they were 6 years old.
Because I think Chicago's Scene 88 is a cop, personally, because some of the information he has.
I've heard a lot of people.
You have
say
to
that.
Be a cop. I think a lot of them cops that do the faceless docs are cops, like, getting paid off YouTube on the side. Like, I got inside info on all these niggas. Mm-hmm. I'm going to keep letting them drill because I'm going to get paid by doing these docs. So, me personally, I think that's what's going on over there. But let me ask you this. Have you ever seen someone get killed personally, like, in front of you?
Not in front of me, no.
Do you think that you would have this same passion if, let's say, your best friend, or your cousin, or your brother was killed in front of you, some of the way that some of these kids have been killed out there? Would you have the same passion to make this type of content?
I think that's a really good question, man. I'll be honest, I've not been in that situation. You know, I think if I was in that situation, maybe that would change the way I think about things. But what I would say, and I don't want to conflate the two things, but I've seen so many videos of people getting killed. I'm not saying that that's the same. I'm not saying that that makes it okay. But I would definitely say that I got a certain degree of trauma just from seeing. I mean, that footage of FBG Duck getting killed that went around after his case, of him getting gunned down by those guys outside the Dolce & Gabbana store in the Gold Coast of Chicago. I was a huge fan of Duck. And to see someone that I'm a big fan of like that getting chased down and shot dead in the street. And then there was the other video of him laying there bleeding out for a long time before they put him in the ambulance. Like, shit like that, man. I would say, I know I'm only watching it on the screen, but that shit's dark. And that shit, I would say I feel a certain degree of trauma. I'm not trying to conflate it with somebody that's actually seen their homie die in the street. I would never try and act like that. That's a lived experience that I've got. But I would say the amount of stuff that I've seen through doing these stories, the amount of murders that are on camera, that are on Reddit, that are on YouTube, that are on social media, that shit does affect me. And I would say that, like, that's probably one of the worst, darkest parts of what I do, having to watch people get killed, having to watch the Von footage, having to watch the Duck footage, you know, Lil Jeff, Chicago rapper that just got killed, it's on camera. And I think we're in such a dark time right now where damn near everybody losing their life to this drill stuff, damn near all of it's on camera now. You know, it's hard, you'd be hard-pressed to find a murder of a prominent rapper or gangster that isn't on camera. The Dolph thing was on camera, you know, Lil Jeff was on camera, King Von, FBG Duck, is fucked up. And as far as your question, that's really hard for me to answer whether I would feel the same had I seen that stuff in person. But even just the videos I see, I would say I carry a certain degree of trauma just from consuming all of this stuff. I'm not trying to get a pat on the back or anything like that for that. But I would say that this job comes with a lot of negative aspects that maybe people don't see. And, you know, I feel like what I'm doing is important, because I do feel like these stories are so important. Like in 10, 20 years, people are going to want to look back and know what happened with someone like King Von. You know, that's like I say King Von and Dirk and Youngboy and Quando, that's like the Tupac versus Biggie war of this generation of rappers. And I think the same way there's been a million documentaries made about Tupac and Biggie's murders, I think there's going to be more documentaries about King Von, about Dirk, about Quando. I'm just one of the small cogs trying to help people understand what went on. But I think the stuff I'm covering, these are the most important rap stories and beefs of this generation. I think it's important for us to understand them. And
have any, not to cut
Tupac,
you
off. Tupac. If you're going to be part of the culture, it's Tupac, not Tupac.
I always struggle with this.
It's Tupac, gang.
I got to say, like, Tupac.
Yes, yeah, there you go.
That feels unnatural.
Because I wanted Flacco to answer that same question.
Yeah.
Right? What? But before he asked his, he going to ask his still, but I want to know.
I forgot what I was going to ask you.
Oh, my bad, bro. My bad. I didn't mean to cut you off. But I didn't want to transition before Flacco answered, because he do the same thing. And I wanted to know have you seen anybody get killed in front of you?
Yeah, of course.
Like, no, somebody you love, like your brother, your cousin, your best friend.
He said, yeah, of course, like it's normal.
Yeah.
No. Like, here, right, for example. So, as an adult, like, where I can really, like, internalize it, see it, visualize it, and understand it, no, right? But, bro, as an actual child, right, being, like, 3 years old, right, and in Liberia, I don't remember it, like, visually, right, but I was born in the middle of a civil war, right, like, but where, you know, there's family members, there's people being, like, killed, gunned down in front of you, and you just have to, just keep going, right? So, like, I still, like, I barely, like, remember, like, those things, right? But, you know, like, folks died from me, right? But, yeah, I haven't really, you know, like, seen death to where, like, I'm traumatized or I've seen it internalized, you know?
So you never really seen anything? Because, like, 3 years old, yeah, kid, in Liberia, yeah. I don't really remember. My mom probably told me, hey, you know, we was walking down this trail and somebody got gunned down and you was there. That don't count. I mean,
of course.
This your man's. You love him. Y'all grew up together. Y'all been through the mud, slept on the same mattresses. I know your mom. I know his mom. One day we chilling, bam, his brain in my lap.
No.
And Trap Lord Ross is doing a doc on his brain being in my lap. Do you think that would make you different? Look at the content differently?
Don't use me as that example. My brain's in my lap.
I
feel like the content probably would hit a little different, right? But, like, you know, I just think I would still be able to look at it and understand the purpose of this, right? Like, here, you know, and if, let's say, like, my brother was a famous rapper, right? Or, like, 05 O'Malley, where he ain't writing a rap in his life, but everybody was just so captivated by his lifestyle, his life, his story, then I would have to understand, okay, like, my brother had a story that people wanted to hear. So if this man is telling a story that people want to hear, you know, then it's hard for me to
say.
Have any
rappers ever reached out to y'all like, don't make no videos about me?
Yeah.
And did y'all still continue to make videos about them?
Hair, right? Look.
Yeah.
So.
But y'all say y'all promoting this in a certain positive aspect because people want to know.
Yeah.
But you still, if that's like me telling you don't do no videos about me, then you make a video about me that could potentially put me in a worst case scenario prison. It's like, what do you get out of that besides the views and whatever you get from the clicks? Because there is no trying to help them if you're doing that. Yeah. They're already living for survival to get up out of their environments and do what they're doing. By y'all pinpointing everything that they're doing, it's a difference when they're doing all these Tupac shit and all this other stuff because these niggas is dead already. Now you get a whole history of them, even though a lot of this stuff is out on the internet. But y'all sometimes pinpoint to the point where it's like, damn, the feds probably didn't even know this was going on. It's like, it gets that deep. Like,
case in point, Bloodhound Q50. He's alive and you did a doc on him.
Hey, listen, let me ask you this.
If they dead, it makes sense. But this nigga alive making music videos, you like,
facts. Yeah, he did 8 drills. No, but that's facts.
He on a run anyway, I'm going to help him get cracked.
What gives him a right to make music talking about, I've got 8 hats and I don't have a right to say, this guy's got a song with 2 million views saying I killed 8 people and I'm not allowed to talk about it? That's the thing that I struggle with.
Have you ever
with.
Made any documentaries about Eminem? He didn't talk about killing his mama.
I got a bunch.
He didn't talk about killing his mama. He didn't talk about driving down the street with his baby mother in the car.
I've done all that, though. I got documentaries on every one of those situations.
I understand that, but did you believe Eminem when he did that?
Well, but this is the thing. Whether or not I believed him, let's say Eminem, King Von. Eminem's talking about killing his wife. His wife's still alive. King Von's talking about seven ops dead. They're all dead. I've looked. There they are. Like,
yeah, but
all
you're
there.
Going to look and find those ops that he's talking about.
But I looked for both. That's the thing. I looked for Eminem's. Look at Eminem shit. Like the Eminem documentary I did was very, very meticulous. And it's like there weren't really people. I mean, Eminem pistol whipped a bouncer and he got a case for that. So like he did really.
Oh, Em was getting cracking.
Eminem was getting a cracking.
Shout out to Slim Shady.
Let me just jump back. I think there was a point I wanted to make that's really important where I get what you're saying. Of like, oh, well, why are you blowing up the rappers? But I'm not the one killing people. If Q50 really killed eight people and he's out here running around talking about, I got eight hats and I killed eight people, and he's making songs about it, we're getting millions of views, I'm perfectly entitled to talk about that because you can't kill people and broadcast it and then expect people not to have an opinion on it. If you're killing people low-key and you're not telling anyone about it, I ain't going to find out about it. I'm only finding out about the murders from the songs. If Q50 didn't hop on the track and talk about, damn, 50, is you really up eight hats? I wouldn't have a clue about no eight hats. I got it from him.
I understand what you're saying as far as them talking about it, but you're going to find detailed facts about it. You're not necessarily just hearing them talk about eight hats and saying, oh, well, damn, I got an opinion on him. Damn, this dude killed eight people or whatever the case is. You're literally going to, this is the block he probably did it on. This is the street. Look, you can see this right here. This is where he caught him. They just had a beef, talked and argued about a week ago, and I caught him next week, and his partner got killed after he ran over here. Like, that shit is deep. You don't think that's deep?
It is deep, but at the same time, it's like, this is what I try and get people to understand. It's like, I'm part of like a wider scene of drill music. It's like, I'm just part of a bigger system. Imagine it's like a solar system of drill music, right? You got the rappers that are actually killing each other. They're rapping about it. You got the people that are reporting on it. How am I any different from the Chicago Tribune? They're going to put up an article about the guy that Q50 allegedly killed with all the details in it. And then Q50 is going to put out a song where he's talking about the street that the murder took place on. He's talking about, we shot you up in McDonald's and now the McDonald's is closed. Ain't hard for me to Google what McDonald's got shut down in that neighborhood and then kind of piece that together. And it's not a case of, I'm not hiding in the bushes outside of his crib taking notes. He's put out a song. Chicago Tribune have put out an article. All I got to do is read the lyrics to that, read the article, and I know what's going on. And at the end of the day, I feel like, this might sound crazy, but it's like, murder's bad. I disagree with murder. I know people in gangs, it's a kill or be killed situation, but I don't feel like anyone has a right to kill somebody and then just have no one talk about it. Like, if you kill someone and you rap about it, you put that out for everyone to know about, unfortunately, you know? Like, Q50 is broadcasting, I am a multiple murderer, this is what I'm about, Google it. And I'm the guy Googling it.
So let me ask you this. Is it safe to say you are trying to get these niggas booked low-key? Because you against murder and you like, well, fuck it, I'm against it anyway. And you putting it out there, if the feds ain't pieced this together, let me put it out there so you can get booked.
I would never say that I want a rapper to get booked. What my thing is that I'm just trying to spread the truth about what happened. If Q50 wasn't rapping about, I've got eight hats, we shot up the McDonald's and now it's closed and we shot his mom because she was in the way. He's saying that and he's talking crazy. I've not heard many people talking like the way Q50's talking, if I'm completely honest, just to use him as an example. So it's like, if he wasn't talking about shooting people in McDonald's and it being shut down and this and that and the other, I wouldn't be able to piece it together. I don't want Q50 to get arrested. Do I think he probably will get arrested? If he doesn't get killed, he's talking about he's killed eight people. That's eight families, eight groups of people that are going to want to kill Q50. And he's putting that out there for millions of people to hear. If Q50 doesn't get killed, I think he probably will get arrested because he's talking about he's killed eight people and got away with it. I don't want him to get arrested, for the record. I'm not saying I want him to get arrested, but it wouldn't surprise me. And realistically, as me, that's someone that spent, you know, like a whole month looking into him and his story, I probably think Q50 will get arrested soon. Hey, that's my honest opinion.
Okay, disclaimer. I'm not putting blame on the bloggers because they would have nothing to blog about if you niggas didn't tell on yourself in the first place and put the info out there. So the blame always goes back to the individual putting the info out there. The reason I'm asking these questions because you say you want to put the truth out there, but if it's already under the assumption that these niggas ain't lying, they really doing what they rapping about, what's the point of going behind what he said? Like you say, well, shit, he put this out there. He's telling the truth already. What's the point of going behind him and reiterating that and trying to prove that it's the truth? It's a two-part question. The first part. Second part, would y'all be doing this if you couldn't monetize on it? They say, hey, you could do these docs, but you ain't getting paid off none of this. It's too brutal. These murders is real. It's affecting people's family. You will no longer be able to monetize. Would you still be as intrigued and enriched in putting it out?
So as far as the first question, I think what's really interesting is like we're in this, it's not about me pushing the violence through my videos. It's more about, like, we're in an era where the music's so violent. Like, if we go back to, like, the 90s or the noughties, I can't think of many examples of rappers talking about, yo, we shot this guy on this street, like really laying out and self-snitching and talking about real crimes that they did. I think this is something that's actually going on in hip hop, like now. This is like a new thing, really, rappers snitching on themselves. I mean, damn near, one of the first people talked about on self-snitching was someone like Bobby Shmurda, of like, you know, Mitch got a body about a week ago, and then turns out legal case drops and all the people he's talking about in the song were really doing the stuff that he was talking about.
Not to cut you off, I believe rappers been talking about killing in their raps. That always been part of the street culture. I just think that they didn't actually, like you said, maybe name drop or go so much into detail. Because we seen Snoop in what was that, the 90s? Murder mm-hmm. was the case and mm-hmm. different type of songs. So I think it's been going on. But like you said, the amount and the access of the drill rap is to the point where they want the world to know what they're doing.
Imagine this, man. Imagine when the whole murder was the case situation was going on. And imagine there was a lyric on that song where Snoop's rapping about, yeah, and then I shot him and said it was my bodyguard. You know what I'm saying? If he actually started rapping about it right. In the way that Q50 would rap about some shit now. But it was back then, I would say the artistry was on another level, because Snoop could drop a song like Murder Was the Case and he ain't really saying exactly what was going on, but it's like you get... It's hinted, it's subtle, it's kind of like subliminal.
You should better put two and two together.
Artistry yeah. was but on also, another level.
You're putting two and two together, but there's nothing on that song. If I load up the Genius lyrics of that song, I'm not going to find anything in there that's like a confession that really ties right. Snoop.
Here's
the
difference,
but
though.
Q50 is a different story. He's talking about the name of the street, the car he was in, shit like that.
Here's the difference. Back then in 94, you wasn't getting on a song talking about my bodyguard did nothing, because number one, snitching wasn't cool back then. Snitching is cool now. These niggas is getting fame from snitching.
100%.
So it's accepted now, where it wasn't accepted back then. So you wasn't getting on a track talking about, yeah, me and such did such and such. Nigga, I'm finna come tap your shoulder so motherfucking fast. Fuck you mean. And it was structure in the street still. So your own hood was finna get on you like, nigga, you on a song? Like, that just wasn't happening. It was unheard of. But back to my question, would y'all still be doing this if you couldn't monetize on it?
Hell no.
See, I would.
Nigga, wait. Why would I spend 30 hours a week doing something that I can't monetize off of, right? It's like podcasting, right? Yo, listen, I'm sure you enjoy talking to your brother, right? You feel me, right? You know, it's a beautiful thing. You know, we get the bond, we get to talk here. But, hey, homie, like, bro, like, we can talk on the phone, you feel me? Or when we link up, but we're not about to come here, pay for studio time, do this, the lighting, right, the crisp air, the beautiful microphone, the beautiful computer, and do this, you know, for like what? Like 20 hours a week for no compensation? Hell, listen, I don't love niggas enough to talk about them for free.
Hey, I got the opposite perspective of Flacco on this
one. Okay.
Look, my thing is, like, obviously this is a business. If there was no monetization to create documentaries on YouTube, I wouldn't be able to pay my bills and pay my team. So, yeah, it wouldn't get very far. But me personally, on a deeper level, I love hip-hop so much. I love what I do, honestly. I feel like... Maybe people don't realize, but like to me, I work nonstop. All I do is all day I'm sitting working on Q50 video. I'm listening to every song he's ever made. I'm learning about his neighborhood. I'm reading about the area. I personally love that because I love the music. I love listening to music. I'm like, for me, a good day at the office, I'm like, yo, today I'm going to listen to every song Q50's ever made, every song that Relvert's ever made. I'm going to re-listen to Bloodhound Jeff's album. I'm going to read all the articles about those guys to try and learn more about them. I genuinely love that because I got a passion for the music. I enjoy it. I would do that for no money. If you said to me like, yo, look, shit's all falling apart, you can just make like, I don't know, $2,000 a month, just cover your bills, but you're going to get to keep doing this as a job, I would do it because I genuinely love this. I got a passion for the music and a passion for the scene. And for me, like, I feel like my calling is life in life is to spread the word about music,
about
spread
drills?
The word about hip hop.
Our Chicago rappers, our Chicago rappers.
Hold on, hit the fucking cap button.
I'll stand on that.
My passion in life is to spread the word about drills.
Spread the word about drill music and help people
Chicago
understand.
Rappers, hold on, but he said $2,000.
Help people understand.
I said $0. Ain't no $2,000. Get my bills, because you try to slip that in there. $0.
Like, he's saying $2,000 to live off of.
No, like, I'm saying you're getting
saying
nothing.
Bare minimum. I'm saying
no bare minimum.
No, but if
zero.
I had zero money, I'm about to be on the street.
Nah, he's saying,
no, I'm saying
if he got enough to float where he lives, he would still do what he
but
doing.
I'm saying
I'm
if you could not get money, meaning he had to get a regular 9-to-5,
nah, that's what
and then come home after his 9-to-5 and put as much passion,
I would do that,
research,
100%,
and then still put him out.
100%. Because this is what I was.
I'm
bear
calling
in mind,
cap.
No, but bear in mind, when I first started this shit though, I had a regular job and then I was coming home making my YouTube videos at night, and I did that for years until shit took off. And then when it took off, that became my job. But like, maybe you won't believe me, but I would work McDonald's and come home and make YouTube videos about hip hop that I'm truly passionate about, and I would do that. And that's easy for me to say.
But are Chicago rappers your favorite rappers?
Ooh, man. To be honest, just on a personal level, as far as just music I'm listening to, probably like UK rappers are my favorite because it connects with me on a more local level. I don't talk about UK rappers as often. I would say Chicago is one of my favorite rap scenes. I really like the New York scene, like the Bronx scene, Brooklyn drill. You know, I'm a fan of a lot of the stuff that comes out of Florida. Like the whole Jacksonville wave was something that was really big to me. Chicago is one of my favorites.
But Jacksonville still be considered drill, right?
It kind of is. They don't really call it drill, but like I would say it conforms to like the pattern of what drill music is, kind of city to city.
That's drill.
Yeah,
Young and
Philly,
Nation,
that's drill.
Philly,
that's
drill.
They all doing the drill.
The reason I asked that because you said you're so passionate about music and you've been in the music for so fucking long. So it's like the drill scene has only been here for so long. That's why I asked. It's like, okay, did you start attaching yourself when the drill scene hit, or was you really having a passion when artists was really making artistic music?
Let me break that down for you, man, because I'll tell you like my hip hop journey. Because the one thing is, yeah, I was probably like 5 or 6 when I started listening to hip hop. I was stealing CDs from my older brothers. The first rappers that I was listening to was, we're talking like early Jay-Z, like Reasonable Doubt, Nas, Illmatic, like Eminem's first albums, like Slim Shady LP, Marshall Mathers LP. So it's like, stuff for before that, like I'll just keep it real. I respect it, but I was never a big Tupac fan.
You like Biggie?
I like Biggie, but again, that was like just before I was really active listening to the music. But what I wanted to get to was like I really was engaged with hip hop when like Atlanta trap music started making a wave. So when people like T.I., Gucci Mane, OJ the Juice Man, Waka Flocka were bursting on the scene, I was so into that, like the Atlanta trap sound. I was obsessed with, like, I love T.I.'s music. Like those kind of beats that you would hear. And then obviously those kind of beats, they kind of influenced the Chicago drill, especially in the early stages, as far as like a lot of the early Chicago drill rappers, they were rapping on like Waka Flocka type beats. They were taking that Atlanta sound and then talking about violence. And so I think the reason why Chicago drill resonated with me was because it was kind of like they were taking that Atlanta flavor where it's like, it's sort of like gangster drug dealer music that you could still hear in a strip club and dance to, right?
I think when Chief Keef hit the scene, he had a sound like nobody has heard before.
No, that's true. But you know what's interesting about Chief Keef? It's like, so there were a couple of guys that were doing like drill music in Chicago before Chief Keef. Like there was a guy called Pac-Man that was one of the first guys to talk about drill.
Right.
And like they were really just rapping on Atlanta beats. And I think it was like Chief Keef linked up with like Young Chop, and they created this brand new thing that was like so unique, right?
The only reason I use Chief Keef because he really kicked the door down for them.
100%. Yeah. I mean, I remember when I Don't Like first was going viral, like even in the UK, like I Don't Like was just such a big song as far as people that were into hip hop and rap. And like, even then, what would that be like, 2012? I'd have been like 19. I could just tell this was something really special.
Yeah,
like,
old
I just,
motherfucker.
Are y'all?
We forever young, man.
I say black people influence the world. A lot of people like to argue on that. And I feel as though when y'all say y'all influenced by hip hop, what y'all really mean is y'all influenced by black culture and black people. Because it goes from the love of the music to the slang, the way we talk, the way we walk, the way we dress, our hairstyles. Y'all take our whole identity and conform to it. So have you ever thought on that level? Like, damn, maybe I just love the fuck out of black people and hip-hop is a part of that.
Low-key, man, I completely agree with you. When I was growing up, like, I was super into comedy as well, right? And I was so into black comedy. You know, it's like black and white comedy has always been seen. Like, black comedy clubs are always a different vibe. It's more exciting. So I remember being a kid, I got the Def Comedy Jam box set, and I loved black comedians. I loved Dave Chappelle. I was a very young kid growing up in this small town, but you know, I was listening to hip hop music. I was watching black comedians. And you know, again, I don't mean it in a weird way, but like I definitely became obsessed with black culture. I was growing up in an area that, I'll be honest, wasn't very diverse. There weren't many black people where I came from. It was a small town, you know, in rural England. But like listening to black comedians, listening to musicians, like black hip hop artists, understanding like a world that I hadn't grown up in, you know, it was interesting to me. And it was like, I had a lot of respect for black people and a lot of like admiration for black guys. More a case of like, you listen to stories of people like 50 Cent and Jay-Z, you know, Jay-Z coming out of the Marcy Projects. Like, to me, where I was growing up in a little town in England, like, the Marcy Project, I couldn't even comprehend what that's like, right? But I would look up to people like 50 and Jay. They were like superheroes to me of like, these guys come from the most dangerous environments and they've become millionaires and they've become success stories. Like, I didn't really know, I didn't know any millionaires growing up. Like, I didn't know any, the most successful people that I looked up to growing up were rappers, 50, Jay, Nas, like even, this is a pause, but like Diddy, like you're successful black entrepreneur that had done great things despite the odds. Right. Don't worry about what he's up to now, but like, you know what I'm saying? So I would say that like black culture really does run the world. And I think that that from that period of time up to now, I think that like you meet people all over the world. And it's not just rappers. You know, there's a lot of successful black people in different fields, whether it's, you know, the Hollywood world, people like Tyler Perry that have taken things to whole new heights as far as like media, you know, a successful black billionaire. I think he's a billionaire now. And like, those stories were just more interesting to me. Growing up, I wasn't interested in some rich white guy that had inherited money. Like, that wasn't inspiring to me. Like, a guy coming from Marcy Projects and actually going from, you know, you shouldn't be, if you're from Marcy Projects, you're unlikely to become a billionaire. Look at what Jay-Z accomplished. Like, for me, that's like, I'm in awe of those kind of stories growing up. So it was like, I guess just successful black people, I always just looked
up
to.
Do you make content showcasing that?
Yeah, that's the thing. I feel like some people, right now, the drill music thing's so big, and I'm focusing on a lot of that because it's such a big thing. But I've done a lot of stories about successful entrepreneurs from hip-hop. I did, one of my earliest viral videos was about 50 Cent and his vitamin water deal and how he'd made $150 million selling vitamin water to Coca-Cola. And, like, again, I do still love doing these kind of, like, positive stories.
Do you feel like the positive doesn't kick, like, the negative?
It doesn't. Yeah, that's facts.
Right.
And I wish that wasn't the case, honestly. I wish that I could, you know, do videos about entrepreneurship in hip hop, and they do millions of views, and unfortunately they often don't. But I think that's a wider thing. I don't think I can take the blame for that. I think on social media in general, it just rewards the negativity. That is true.
Facts. And because I think y'all would catch a lot less flack if, say, for every drill video you did, you highlighted a positive from the community and showcased that to the world, because oftentimes our greatness gets overshadowed because all everyone does is showcase the negative. So when we speaking about, hey, man, we invented this. Hey, man, we created that. Nobody even believes the shit, number one, because they brainwash you to think we just a bunch of dumb fucks who was in huts until the white man came to save us, when that's not the fucking case. So I think y'all would catch a lot less flack by doing that. But how do you feel we could battle that? Because, like you said, social media rewards the negative. Even with our platform, we started talking positive. We wasn't covering hip-hop stories or nothing. And niggas is on that. I don't want to hear that bullshit, Sharif. Who killed who? Who's doing the drills? It's like that. So the money's there.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm like, okay, well, are you in it for the money? Are you in it for the betterment of the culture? Like, what is it? And how do you combat that to make it a positive cool?
Yeah. Here, but also too with this though. See, he's very humble, right? But everything that he just described in terms of, you know, how niggas dress, the content, the gangster stories, that comes from white folks, right? These motherfuckers wearing the Mary jeans, the tight jeans, the skinny jeans, you know, those jackets, that come from, you know, like the white Europeans, right? The gangster, right? You know, like how gangsters move, how they talk, their mannerisms, the code of ethics, that comes from the mob, right? So everything you love about niggas come from white folks. So don't say you love black culture.
That's crazy.
Come on, I'm
love
crazy.
White culture. Fuck out of here. Real, nigga.
Stop that cap, nigga.
Hit the cap button.
If niggas, Brennan would agree with me, right?
Hit the cap button. If niggas move like the mob, we wouldn't be in the position we in today.
Oh, no, the mob got a lot of rats. You can't say that. Them niggas be ratting like a motherfucker.
They still got a lot of things established.
Them niggas ratting like a motherfucker, bro. They just don't be putting that out there. But I will say, they own... They have the brands, but the brand don't become a brand till we put it on and we stamp it.
And let's be real.
Hell no.
And let's keep it 100. A lot of this Louis, a lot of this Fendi, all this shit was stolen from Africa.
Facts.
So let's keep that all the way G.
Well, which Africans? All that,
when you speak facts,
go look up the symbols. Go look up them symbols. Nigga. All they did was regurgitate and change their shit and slap the name on it. Nigga took all their shit. Nigga.
The swastika itself. That they used for came from us. Go do your history. Yeah. Louis, Gucci, all those symbols have our history embedded in it. They just took it and monopolized it. But it started from us, nigga. Just like the country singer that's on Beyonce right now. Guess who created country?
Oh, Shaboozy. Right?
Luke something. But guess who created country?
It don't matter. We made country.
We created country.
Who? What do you mean?
West Africans.
By who?
The original sound of country music was started with fiddles and banjos. You know where banjos came from? Where? Africa, 17th century.
Man,
we
Africa
gave
look like sauce like that, man.
Fuck you, yeah, smoking, right? See, he a young boy. See, he don't know his history.
Listen, I'm from Africa, man.
He don't know his history.
Africans don't got sauce like that.
Africans
man.
Got
on,
sauce.
Man.
You ain't from Africa. Listen, he's not. We gonna tell you, ain't. They gonna kill you.
Man, come on, bro. Gucci came right, from Africa, man.
I'm gonna tell you like I told Ruggers, man. Go bleach your skin. Go jump in some shit. Go jump in some shit and change the color of your skin tone.
Self-hating ass nigga.
Hey, every kinfolk.
What's your feeling on drill influencing the UK, because it has a huge drill scene. Like when I was in the UK, these niggas idolized Von. Like, nigga, y'all don't even have no guns. Don't y'all only got knives and shit? And they still like, because they was like, oh, you from Chicago? I'm like, fuck no, they got from Cali. Oh, you from Cali? And man, woo, woo, woo. But they love drill. They're infatuated with the shit. They idolize it. How do you feel about Chicago influencing the UK like that?
Man, I'll keep it real, man. A lot of the gangsters and rappers and stuff in the UK, they're obsessed with Chicago. You know, I think it's a really interesting evolution because, like, obviously Chicago drill, it kind of had some roots in Atlanta trap, but it became its own thing. And Chicago drill was all about guys that were rapping on very aggressive beats about real shit that was going on in their communities, right? Like real shootings, real shit that's actually going on, not metaphorical, like actual stuff that was going on in the neighborhood that week. And the UK rappers kind of took that and did the same thing. A lot of UK rappers kind of started doing, we used to call it road rap. So before drill kind of had a name, we had road rap, which was like guys like Giggs or someone like Young Spray, who they were like, you know, real gangsters that were on the block rapping about their experiences. Often they would just be using like American beats, you know, Meek Mill type beats, Atlanta type beats. But at a certain point, probably around like 2014, a lot of UK beat makers and producers, they kind of like blended elements of like UK dance music, like garage and house music, like speeding up the drums with some of the like synths and melodies of Chicago drill music, and created like the UK drill sound, which kind of then eventually spread like to Brooklyn and the Bronx. You know, Pop Smoke, a lot of the beats that he was rapping on were by UK producers. People didn't know it because he's an American, he raps on the beat, it's an American song, but like that sound, like that tempo of like you hear a song like Dior and it's like like the way that the hi-hats and the snares collide, that's like a UK sound. And so like that sound kind of became a thing. And then a lot of UK rappers got on the mic and they started rapping like Chicago rappers about real stabbings that were going on, real shootings. Obviously, I think people in the UK were really excited to talk about what was going on because it was different, right? You got Chicago drill rappers talking about this person got shot, that person got shot. You never really hear about stabbings. Even in early gangster rap in the UK, again, it was very metaphorical. You wouldn't hear guys talking about, yo, I got three man on my knife this week. Like that become a new thing. That become a new thing.
Three bodies on the knife is crazy.
But that's what they be saying. Man. That's what they be saying.
Are you invested in the UK crime the way you are with Chicago?
Yeah, fully. I've done a few UK stories over the years. I mean, the thing is, the UK is a smaller scene. You know, there's less.
It's
people.
Not as much constant.
The thing is, as well, it's kind of like, I grew up more listening to American rap. Like, I love UK music. I listen to it all the time. But it's like, I would say I know more about the US in general, even though I'm fascinated with the UK and I know a lot about it. I know more about the US just because when I was growing up, UK rap was such a small thing when I was growing up. Only in the last few years has UK rap really, well, at least UK drill, has blown up and become, now we've had number one records that were drill songs. That's like a whole new thing. For years, like, hip-hop, what's really interesting is a lot of American rappers would go number one in the UK, but UK rappers really struggled to get hits in the UK because it just wasn't mainstream. And like, it's just like a really interesting mixture. But I've done a few stories about UK rappers.
Are they drilling in the UK?
100%.
So, 100%. But you're not that invested. It makes sense. No, it's your hometown. So invested. You're like, I ain't finna be here fucking with y'all. Let me go to the US and let me document all these niggas. I ain't gonna do nothing in my backyard.
Or I end up on a knife.
I'll be doing it in my backyard. And I had a few issues, to be fair.
Is that right?
I had a couple little issues.
So you've done documentaries on UK drillers that's still alive and put bodies on them and all that, and they tapped in like, hey, bro, is that right? Okay, at least you got the nuts to do that, because a
couple cases,
a lot of people wouldn't have done that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, hey.
The funny thing is, though, and this has happened in the US too, man. Sometimes I'll do a documentary, man, and people will reach out and they're like, I didn't like the way you did me. I didn't like the way you put that across. You know what I'm saying? But sometimes a few months passes, you know, they get a little boost on the numbers from the video. And then before you know it, people come back and they're like, yo, well, why don't we do a little interview? Like, why don't we do a little bit of content? Like, I feel like, because the interesting thing is, like, after I did the King Von documentary, I caught so much heat. People saying, you're ruining Von's legacy. You're putting this serial killer jacket on him. You don't know what you're talking about. But then a little bit of time passed, and then people kind of warmed up to it. When I spoke to Von's manager, 100K Track, he said to me, he was like, bro, when you dropped that documentary, streaming numbers went up. We all made money. Like, we all got paid from you dropping that documentary. you kind of brought a bit of emotion back to Von. I'm not saying Von was bigger than me. Von was already a huge artist. But just that little moment that I created with a documentary, from what I understand, Von's team, Von's people, they were making money.
Had a Fez ever reached out to you for a job?
Nah, never. Nah, fortunately not, man. Fortunately not.
Were you influenced by DJ Academics? Because we know Flocko was. That's like his hero and shit. Yeah. So did Ak doing the War in Chirac influence you to start doing the docs?
Yeah, definitely. I don't think Ak's War in Chirac influenced me specifically as far as like when I started. It wasn't like, oh, I'm trying to be like Ak. It was more like I was trying to do like documentary style content about stuff I was interested in. And often that would be stuff that that Ak would talk about as well. But I think once I started doing the gangster stories, I think the War in Chirac was an interesting template as far as like the way that Academics approached it. Like, I always give Ak a pass because I know he gets a lot of negativity for the War in Chirac. People say he was very disrespectful in the way that he spoke about people. And I get where people are coming from. But then also I think Ak was one of the first people to shine a light on what was going on in Chicago. And I think that's why I feel like I believe in what I do, because even you get rappers like Lil Reese, they talk about, look, Academic shone a spotlight on our city. He actually made it so there was a lot of motion around us. That was when Chicago drill was kind of first coming about. And yeah, Academics, he was probably a little bit insensitive in the way that he spoke about certain people. And I completely understand that. But at the same time, I think a lot of guys that were down bad got put on and got a spotlight put on them by shit that Academics was doing and saying and giving people a little bit of attention. And I think that changed a lot of people's lives. And I respect that. And I know that Academics wouldn't talk about people now the way he spoke about people back then. Mm-hmm. But I think that he really created the template and the lane as far as like, yo, we're basically going to report on the real crimes that are going on behind the music, because that's really what's going on. People were getting killed every week in Chicago. You know, the Lil Jojo situation. Ak was damn near reported on that shit as it happened. And it's like, I don't think it's Ak's fault. You can't say Ak's responsible. That's just what was going on. And for many people, they wouldn't have even been aware of what was going on in Chicago if it wasn't for Academics doing that journalism. And I think that he kind of walked so people like us could run, I would say.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
Shout out Academics, man. Mm-hmm. Cool dude. We met him.
Yo, like, listen, and even Academics, yo, and here's why I feel like everybody should be influenced by Academics, right? So, like, because the history of what we do is so young, well, we forget, right, that, bro, 2010, like, the route into what we're doing right now had a bunch of gatekeepers at that door. Meaning, yo, if you wanted to get into this, you had to go through like iHeartMedia, Viacom, all right, Power 105, Power 106, right? And it was Academics being rejected from the radio that he said, oh, bro, well, these niggas is on bullshit. I'm going to go on YouTube and act like I'm at a radio station. And he finessed them for about like a solid like year or so, acting like he was a radio host. And then he just came out and said, okay, listen, I'm not at no radio. Y'all got me. I'm independent. And that right there have broke down the door for us to do these podcasts, right? So like, even if you don't like the war in Chirac, you have to say, okay, he's the reason why all of this exists. And to me personally, bro, if we like list the greatest hip-hop commentators of all time, bro, it's hard for anybody to put anyone above Academics, right? Because who do you put by, like Charlamagne? No, right?
Hip hop.
What do you mean, I think like that's Big
different.
Boy and shit.
Huh?
You ain't speaking like far as Big Boy and all that, right?
Yeah, he's talking about
what Big Boy was doing was smoking, different,
man.
Though.
No. Listen,
was,
Academics.
That was a different era. I would say Big Boy was probably
because Big Boy was actually doing it for the music. He wasn't trying to narrate their backstories on shit.
But he
unless no, stuff. But he would allow his platform to allow the person to. Yeah. Give their backstory, not that he has to go and dig in and figure out what they're saying. It's like, well, we see him come speak and we decide whether if he's speaking truth or fiction.
Listen, this hold up. You got to pay homage to the vets. That's one. That's one issue with our culture is if somebody get a wave, they get motion right now, and we forget all the work that these dudes put in. Like you said, Charlamagne. Like, is you crazy? That's Charlamagne. Like, you know how much work that nigga put in? How much groundwork? This is before the internet. I'm talking about when you had to go outside. You had to go up to the stations. Yeah. You had to take classes and courses, not just jump on YouTube with a camera and get a following. Like, you had to really go tap in. Now you can skip that. You can just turn on a camera, and if they like what you're saying, you got motion now. So I do salute Ak. Because he done something nobody ever did.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? He's a grandfather, a gatekeeper in that lane. But speaking on just hip-hop, he didn't make his bones with hip hop. He made his bones with little niggas killing each other and him giving them nicknames and reporting play by plays on what they were doing. These niggas made their bones in hip hop.
No, you see, right?
Big difference.
You see, right here, for example, right? Yo, the war in Iraq is probably Academic's like sixth or seventh biggest channel, meaning this, right? Yo, Academic's first big channel came from, I guess, like just repurposing the like, Breakfast Club clips, right? And then Academic started talking about just general mainstream news. And like the bulk of what he built started from speaking on hip hop stories, like Young Thug.
Listen to what you just said. But listen to what you just said. Who's on the Breakfast Club?
It's Charlamagne Butto.
But you said he just got all his shit from reclipping the Breakfast Club.
His start came from that, right? But here's the why I put Academics above the Charlemagnes and the Big Boys is because, for example, right, when you start on and on like the radio, right, like you already come with this like prepackaged like platform, this prepackaged audience, right? To build it up it's a lot harder, and then two, they ain't really trailblaze nothing. Meaning this, right? Like Academics started an entire industry, right? This right here, the independent like hip hop media platforms started from Academics, so. One, if we're doing like commentary for commentary, he's up there, but you also take into consideration that he trailblazed and started and founded an entire industry.
I gotta stop you there.
He's a Buff Charlamagne.
Forgot about Star and Buck Wild. They've been doing this. Long before we heard of an act, you had Star and Buck Wild. You had the Wendy Williams. It was a lot of people already trailblazing this path so act could come and be what he was. If it wasn't for them niggas already laying the foundation, so you a little younger, so you don't know.
Yeah.
But they already was laying the foundation in hip-hop for this to be accepted. Yeah. So it was kind of the perfect storm. It's like, sometimes you might create something, but you don't get the credit. Somebody else come and they jump out the gym and they boom and they get the credit. But it's like, hey, without me laying this groundwork, this foundation, this building wouldn't even be able to be built. You can't build it without the foundation. It's going to crumble. So a lot of people had to crawl so Ak could walk, jump, fly, whatever he's doing right now. I can't just let you say that.
Yeah, it's crazy because he did great, like you said, opening another lane, but things just transcended. He was able to capitalize on the times that we in versus just being able to have to do the groundwork and have to go meet these rappers, actually have to go meet these people, was able to get online, use his voice for a platform, and then escalate now because of the times of, like we say, these videos and a lot of these devices now where you don't have to do the same groundwork. All you had to do is put in the work, and 9 times out of 10, you can sprout up with the right viral moment, and now you're taking off.
Imagine doing what y'all doing now without YouTube.
Oh, yeah,
like you know, shout out Smack, because he was one of the innovators too, the cocaine DVDs, where they had to go with the cameras and hit the projects. Are these niggas you reporting about? And these niggas got 50 guns pointing at the cameras, and you like, oh shit, nigga, point it down. That's how they had to make their bones. They couldn't just get on YouTube and repurpose what they put on Instagram for you to repurpose. You had to go do the groundwork. Do y'all think y'all would be as avid on talking about this type of shit if that was still the case?
Well, you know what's interesting? I've always looked at, like, do you remember Beef DVD?
Yep.
Like, yeah. I've always looked at that as almost like a... That's like, imagine like Charlamagne to Academics. That was almost like to what I was doing when I was making beef videos, you know, 50 Cent versus Rick Ross beef. I would look at the beef DVDs as inspiration of like, how do they tell a story of a beef between this guy and this guy? Obviously, that's kind of evolved into kind of the gang beefs that I cover now, right? But it's like, I would say like nothing's ever really original. Like there's always people that you've been inspired by, people that put it on. You know, even like Vlad was doing documentaries before he was doing his interviews. Yeah. He was doing like Ghost Ride the Whip and shit back in the day. Like I think there's been so many different eras and different pieces of heritage that have influenced the next generation. I think it's just like the next generation always goes bigger. Like, Academics' lane is way bigger than Charlemagne's lane, but whoever the next Academics is, they're going to come up with something that's probably 10 times bigger than what Ak did, because I feel like the pie grows every time, every year, every 10 years, the pie grows even bigger. Like hip-hop, as it is now, when Charlemagne started, it's probably on a whole, if the multi-billion dollar industry, hip-hop's like the NFL or something now, you know what I mean? It's this whole multi-billion dollar industry where everyone's following along and listening, and it's like, it wasn't like that. I mean, back when you mentioned like Star or even Sway, like back when they were doing interviews on like MTV, you couldn't have imagined hip hop getting to the level it's got to now. You know what I mean? Like now, in the last 10 years, like hip hop became pop music. It became the mainstream music that everyone wants to listen to. And back then it was kind of niche, like, you know, hip hop in the '90s, like obviously it was a big thing, but it wasn't like now where it's like damn near everyone loves rap. Everyone knows about rappers, even drill music. Like so many people are listening to these artists. I think the pie is just way bigger than it is now. So like, I feel like it's, I understand why you feel like Ak is kind of the GOAT, but then it's also like, we wouldn't exist without Ak. Ak wouldn't exist without, without
Charlotte. He feel like Ak is the GOAT because Ak inspired him. Ak gave him leverage. Ak put him in certain positions. So it's only right to pay homage. But you still, as like he was saying, have to pay homage to the people before them. That's
See, right? And then also too, man, like why I give Ak a bunch of credit, right, is because like I understand what the next step for hip hop is. Meaning this, right? Yo, right now, you know, the black creators in this space in terms of hip-hop media and hip-hop in general, we are, you know, the highest skilled exploited class of workers in America, right? So because I understand, like, what the next step is, I now have to understand, okay, who's going to take us to that next step? Meaning the infrastructure have to get torn down, meaning, right, like we can't continue to operate in a space where there's Masa's favorites and Masa's unfavorites, meaning this, right? When you look at the BET, like red carpet, all the black media outlets there, right? Like the Good Boys Club that niggas like me act, or y'all probably would never get invited to because we don't fit, you know, like that, you know, like their prototype of what they believe a media platform should be. I'm saying at some point we have to figure out, okay, well, somebody has to pour this gasoline and burn this shit down. I know when I pour this gasoline and I pass the lighter to you, that shit being burned down. I pass it to you, nigga, right? It's being burned down. If I pass that lighter to Charlamagne and God and Big Boy, is the infrastructure being burned down? No. Why? Because they'll be a fool because the infrastructure is how they eat. So meaning if we know that at some point this shit has to be torn down because we can't be the exploited class any longer, right? Well, you know, we have to now like exalt up the niggas that y'all feel comfortable of. If y'all pour that gasoline, who can you pass that lighter to and be confident that this nigga going for me?
But you know, in 10 years, like the new young generation is going to come through and fuck up our sport. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Right. Because to even think that you're looking at it from them when Big Boy's been working maybe 25 years now to the point where he doesn't need to do nothing. He's connected to everything in hip hop.
Of course.
He's probably done interviews with everybody, anybody relevant in hip hop since the 90s. So it's like for him to even be looking for something to pass, it ain't going to make no sense regardless. But those type of events, like you say, we watching it crumble as we see right now with all this Hollyweird shit going on. So we're going to start to see. But now you need more people to create those platforms, to create new shit to produce instead of keep trying to go to these Grammys, keep trying to go to this shit. You need more people to come out and play those positions to where other people that's not even brought into that, where it is no favoritism, can get in there and not have to worry about, like you say, Massa or who else controlling that shit.
I agree with what you're saying, though. Yeah. Like the law of polarity.
Yeah.
In order to build, you have to destroy.
Absolutely.
Right? It's like building muscle. You have to tear the muscle, then the muscle repairs itself, then you can build. Or like a snake shedding its skin, you feel me? I agree, but that does not mean shit on the people who came before you. Because like he said, in 10 years, these little young niggas in front of these cameras, they're going to be the new hot shit, and you might be the old shit. So all the work you're putting in, you're going to want that recognition in this industry for the work you put in, not for them to say, man, fuck that old stuttering nigga. Man, them niggas, they blah, blah, blah. Like, no, you pay homage. We the only race of people who don't pay homage.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like that. We get in front of these platforms, we shit on the vets or whatever the case. Ain't nobody perfect, you know what I'm saying? They eating off the infrastructure. Of course they don't want the infrastructure to crumble. That's like somebody who will start a platform now where they have rappers come freestyle and they blow up. Like I-95, they doing that shit on the East Coast too.
Yeah.
That would be crazy for them to come and say, well, fuck Big Tigger, Rap City in the Basement.
Yeah.
Nigga, they started that.
Of course.
Like, what the fuck you mean? Pay homage, you might even be doing it on a bigger, better level. Like, some people think LeBron better than Jordan. Do that mean shit on Jordan legacy? Fuck no. Pay homage, like who you like, because it's really generational anyway. Whatever generation come along, whoever blows up in their generation, that's the best to them. But still pay homage to the greats. I think Chappelle's the GOAT. Did that mean shit on Eddie Murphy?
No.
Fuck no. Without Murphy, it ain't no Chappelle. So pay homage. That's all I'm saying.
Look, better question, right? And this is sort of like a slight left, right? are y'all ready to be martyrs in terms of like y'all platform, like for cause, meaning this, right? If you know, yo, listen, there's a change that needs to be made, meaning this, right? Yo, there's a huge problem with Speedy Mormon being considered the leader of the new class, right? In terms of this hip hop media shit. And nobody here like can tell me an opinion that Speedy Mormon has ever given. Meaning, I can't tell you what he thinks about Trump or Kamala or the drill scene. Because Speedy Mormon plays the game perfectly, right? Speedy Mormon, he keeps his opinion to himself. He do these like fun little interviews and shit, you feel me? And he keeps climbing up the ranks, right? And he's considered the leader. So I'm saying, are you guys ready to be martyrs to make sure that, again, Speedy, I love you, bro. But the Speedy Mormon prototype doesn't continue to get pushed in front of people like ourselves.
Considered, who is he considered the leader of?
Like this new like cultural hip-hop and hip-hop adjacent spaces. He's often regarded as the next nigga up, meaning like, right? Like, he's the one that, like, you know, that, like, Complex and VH1 and Viacom and BT and IR Media and Amazon continues to give, you know, him these roles in terms of leadership and, like, opportunities, right? And he's the one that continues to get pushed to the front, right? And he sort of has now, like, surpassed, like, the Nadeskas and the Jinx. He's now like the new nigga up now where Viacom, Amazon, iHeartMedia, Complex, et cetera, exalts him. So I'm saying like that prototype of niggas who shut up and chuckle and do these interviews, right, without giving their actual opinions on this shit, dumb niggas I don't trust that like when it comes to like pour this Vaseline and pour this fire out, that niggas like Speedy is going to pick up the match and say, yeah, Flacco, let's burn this shit down too.
Listen, check this out. It's a paradigm shift going on.
Yeah.
The day and age of that shit you talk about, it's over. It's crumbling in real time. We've seen it. Gatekeepers are crumbling.
Yeah.
People want what's real, which is why Drill exploded.
Yeah.
They want what's real. They don't want you to just lie and rap about the shit no more. They want you to be really doing what you're talking about. Same thing with this media. They don't want this everybody being political and everybody scared to get their opinion. No, say what the fuck you mean. Mean what the fuck you say. Stand on your opinion, good or bad. Take whatever flack come with it. Stand on your words. People want the truth. They want honesty. All this camouflage, and that's what's wrong with the fucking game. That's why all these garbage-ass niggas making this popcorn music was running shit for so long. Because everybody who had the real talent, they don't want to play the game. They like, fuck that. I'm not finna come in here and make this ringtone rap because y'all making money. Nigga, yep. We started this. This is our culture. Right. So we need people like us, that's truth tellers, to take the power back. That's how it started. It's just like the world. It goes in cycles. Same thing. You might have a great empire. We like, damn, this is the best empire ever. Then that shit crumbled. And the next empire is bigger than the last. Same thing with hip-hop. We had a long stretch where the fuckery was running shit, and now we're starting to see realism come back. Hence why Kendrick is performing at the motherfucking Super Bowl. Hence why everybody who's doing the most streams, it ain't Drill. It ain't this little popcorn dance rap. Yeah. It's cool for TikTok, but when you do the numbers and the analytics, the real artists are running shit still.
The fact.
Facts.
Here, but
how you feel about it though, bro? Because I don't want my man to get left out of the combo.
I think that you make a really interesting point, because I think sometimes people forget that like Drill, not necessarily mainstream culture. Yeah, you got drill artists that really break through. Lil Durk probably comes to mind as like the biggest guy that's gone clear in the mainstream off the back of drill music. But Durk kind of makes all like pain music now. It's kind of, you know, he's got that, was it Love Songs for the Streets 3 coming out or something like that. He's got like Sabrina Carpenter and like Morgan Wallen on there. He's making pop music now. So you can't really say it's drill. You know, King Von, he wasn't making number one songs. You know, it is actually quite niche. It's kind of a subculture. So I agree, and I feel like if you're a rapper, I mean, this is something, maybe this is a tangent, but it's like, when I meet young guys that are making drill music, making gangster music, like, I would always say to them, you know, I was in New York with a couple of young drill rappers, and I was kind of advising them, I was kind of like, no, you guys, you don't need to do the dissing anymore, you don't need to make fun, you can make commercial music, you can make hit songs, you can make a pop song, like, you guys, you need to maybe think a little bit bigger than the drill music, right? Because that can only go so far, and unfortunately for a lot of people, it leads down the negative path. People end up losing their lives or losing their freedom over drill music. But a lot of people who are actually talented when it comes to the music, drill maybe is where you make your name. Someone like Durk made his name in drill music. or even someone like, I don't know, Favio Foreign, but then he's transcended that and gone mainstream, making songs with Ye, making pop songs, was it Alicia Keys or whoever he's collaborating with, right? So it's kind of like, I feel like it's really important to make people understand drill is kind of a way to get on, but it's not necessarily mainstream. You're not going, you're not having a number one Billboard hit off drill. You know what I'm saying?
No, that's facts. You ain't got nothing on that?
Nah, I ain't really.
Okay,
got, I ain't
how you feel about this Brandon Buckingham? That's his name? Is that making you look at
that's
doing
homie.
This shit differently? Because he got popped out there in Chicago, right? Running around with the drill rappers, doing
was he
the documentaries. He got hit, right?
Because I heard rumors, but you know him personally, so like you can say.
Then I seen rumors that nobody got hit, but the first story.
He's skeptical on speaking. Let him speak.
Yeah.
Brandon's the homie, man. I'm not going to air out too much of their business.
Oh, but you're going to air out all our shit. I'll caught this body. Now you don't want to air your man's out. See, that's the vulture shit we've been talking about. Air that shit out.
No, it's not that I don't want to air him out. But
ain't it on the internet already?
And he's been quiet ever since he got popped, allegedly.
No, the details are out there.
I'm saying, but the details of him getting popped.
Yeah.
So by you not responding to that.
No, but I don't think anyone's saying that he actually got shot. Like, that they were out and there was a shooting and it was to do with that group, but I don't think people are saying Brandon got shot.
The story I seen, it said Brandon got shot. It says blogger gets shot in Chicago with rapper.
Y'all see he don't want to get his boy up in that mix.
Yeah. No, I just
I just
don't personally believe that. I think there's been a lot of like people have been kind of overblowing it. And I think because YBC Dull lost his life very soon after the Brandon vlog came out, I think people are trying to put stuff on Brandon. I personally, look, having known Brandon, I've worked with Brandon. We've met up. I've gone and been in a vlog with him in New York. Hasn't come out yet, but it's coming soon.
Have you vlogged that story that he was in?
Which one?
The one that he said he got shot in.
Not that one, but I'm just finishing off my YBC Dull video, which I talk about him and Dull getting killed and the relationship, you know, him going back and forth with academics. I would cover the what's going on with Brandon. I wouldn't be scared of covering what's going on with him, but it's like I did a Q...
Are you less wanting to do that because, like you just said, somebody got chipped after that happened.
Now you
feel like you implicating your boy if he you go cover it.
With the Bloodhounds, though, he got chipped.
This is what I'm saying.
Yeah, he was with the guys.
But he's saying his boy could possibly be in a twist, so now he kind of iffy on them details, whereas if it's somebody he don't know, he don't give a fuck. Murder's bad, I'm putting all the details out, fuck your life.
It's on the internet.
It's on the internet.
What I'm saying is that whole situation happened when Brandon was in Chicago to do a vlog with Q50 and them, right? Everyone knows that. That's out there in the public. I did a documentary on Q50 like 3 weeks before Brandon went out there, right? So had that happened before I finished my Q50 video, I would be talking about that. That would be going into the video. But I'd already done my Q50 documentary before Brandon went out there, if you get what I'm saying. But I did warn Brandon. I did say to him, he was like, I'm going to link Q50. I was like, bro, be careful because those guys... they're moving crazy out there. They're really, really deep involved in what's going on, and you just got to be careful. Obviously, the situation happened. You know, it's really unfortunate. Thankfully, as far as I'm aware, nobody got seriously hurt. You know, nobody lost their lives in that situation. But I've said to Brandon, and he's a friend of mine, but I've said to him, you know, he needs to be careful. Maybe he needs to be a little bit more, a little bit more just wise to just how serious some of these situations
are. So he's actually doing the same thing you're doing, but he's actually going and trying to do that groundwork. Is that where you're jumping in now, trying to get to doing the same thing that he's doing?
It's not that I'm trying to do the same thing, but it's like I just want to show people another side of me. So, like, I'm here in L.A. I'm doing this documentary about the Bloods and the Crips, but it's a historical documentary, more about, like, where these sets and gangs kind of came from and their original founding and how the mentality of gangbanging in L.A. has kind of changed over the years. Like, that's what that's about.
Right.
So I want to do that as an in-person documentary, but I don't want all my content to be like that. That's kind of, like, something new that I'm doing. I'm a researcher. Like, this is the thing. I actually love just sitting at home on Google, on Reddit, on Chicago Tribune, researching and learning and listening to the music and reading the lyrics. Like, I like that. I'll be inside. I'll be staying inside. I'm not trying to say I want to do what Brandon does. I respect what he does. You know, him, Tommy G, Taboo Room, like the hood vlog genre of content, I really admire and I really respect it. That's just not really my lane. So I respect that, but I'm not really trying to do that. The thing I'm doing in LA is kind of unique because it's kind of also fun. Like, I want to come out here and meet different people. You know, I've been interviewing kind of OGs from the older generation of the Crips over the last few days and stuff like that. And I'm really trying to get a history lesson from those guys rather than, like, come in and tell them who did what or what happened. So it's a little bit different. But I respect what those guys are doing. If anything, I feel like Brandon's very brave for even putting himself.
You know, he's playing with his life.
That's the thing. He's putting himself in the line of fire. And, you know, I worry about him. When he said he was going to meet up with Q50 and them, I was worried, you know, and I made sure to check in on him. And obviously the situation that happens is very messed up. But, you know, fortunately, everyone's kind of pulled through as far as I'm aware.
Let me ask you this. When you do these in-person documentaries and you're chopping it up with OGs and they giving you the game, what's your game plan with that? Because I couldn't see no one giving you that type of information for free. Like, are you compensating these guys? Are you plugging them with certain avenues? Because I know if I've been in the streets for 40 years, I did 25 behind the wall. I got 30 dead homies. I got shot up. Now, I'm not just talking to some white boy from the UK telling him all my set business for no reason. So how are you going about that? You know what I'm saying? Because I see a lot of people go, oh, do you donate to the families and the victims? I don't expect that. So I just do you utilize your resources to these people you do these documentaries on? Say I'm a young cat in Chicago. I want to rap. And I just seen you out there with Math Hoffa. Hey, man, can you send Math my music? Like, would you be like, oh, yeah, for sure, I'm afford it to him. Or you'd be like, nigga, what?
I mean, for this, for what you asked for, like, for this with the OGs, you know, I'm cutting them a check to talk to me. Realistically, I'm giving an appearance fee for people. Or alternatively, you know, I got some guys that kind of, maybe they got their own media going on. So I'm saying, well, I'm a collab with you if you come on my thing. That's how we're kind of doing that. That's not the norm. That's not a normal thing for me. I'm kind of new to this. So, you know, that's the case. But at the same time, like, you know, rappers hit me up telling me to hear their music and pass things on. You know, I try and help people where I can. My thing is, it's like, it's more a case of just like, let me listen to your music. And if I fuck with it and it resonates with me, I'm going to share it. I'm going to post it. Like,
right, if your
off
shit
the
trash
love. If it's trash, I'm not really trying to tell anyone about it.
I ain't trying to invest in your shit. Yeah,
that's the way it goes. But yeah, with this is a unique thing. Like, you know, I'm cutting a few checks, doing a few interviews with people. People are really helping me, putting me on, helping me navigate, you know, which I'm grateful for people that are willing to speak to me. Some people aren't. I've reached out to some people, they're not really feeling it, and that's okay too. But I'm not trying to jam anyone up or put anyone's business out there. I'm trying to be respectful. If people have got stuff they want to promote, they got a book, or if they got a movie or something that they're trying to push a channel, you know, I'm gonna use the video as an opportunity for them to shout out what they got going on too. But like this documentary I'm doing out here is gonna be quite different from the stuff I've done before. It's gonna be a lot more historical.
A new lane.
Yeah, but you know, about the gangster lifestyle and the culture, but more just way more historical and more about like the mindset rather than like who did what to who did this and that. It's not about that. Like, I'm trying to educate myself on the politics of the city with this one.
Have you tapped into any of the historical gang researchers out here? Like, let's say Alex Alonso or somebody who've been putting in groundwork for years out here doing that, or you kind of bypassed that and went straight to the gangs type of thing?
So far, I've just been going straight to people that have been involved in gangs, but that's a good idea. Maybe I need to reach out.
Yeah, because you know he's tapped in with every gang in the city. Hey, shout out Alonzo. You know what I'm saying? We're not above shouting people out. I just know he put in a lot of fucking work in his lane. And it's good for people to connect with people who've been laying the groundwork, especially if they're trying to merge into those lanes. Somebody from outside the culture at that, I think that's a good idea as well.
Sure. No, that sounds great. I just got to give a shout out to like Vlad and Cam Capone, Adam. They've been putting me in touch with people because I know all of those platforms have interviewed a lot of interesting people from different areas. So, you know, Vlad's hooked me up with a couple of interviews. Cam's put me in touch with a few people. I got some stuff coming up with Adam and people that he's worked with. So, you know, I'm really grateful for other people in the scene that help and direct me to serious people. But I'm open-minded and I'll talk to anyone. Like, I'm pretty open, like, for people, if they want to sit down with me. Some people don't fuck with me and they don't want to work with me. I understand. That's fine. But if people do want to come and spread the word, spread the message, I'm not trying to catch anyone out or trick anyone. Like, you tell me your story and the history and I'm a piece of
put it up. Yeah, put it all on the internet. Yeah.
But it's like, you ain't got, if you don't want to tell me something, don't tell me. We're just not going to get out there. And if there's something in there that you don't like, we'll remove it. Like, I'm trying to be mega respectful with it.
So what is your overall goal with this content? Are you looking at like getting a deal, getting signed with like Netflix or something to do these, or is this just...
I'd love to do Netflix.
Is this a step to do something else in hip hop, or is it strictly like I'm trying to be the next documentary guy of this generation?
I want that's spot on, man. I really want to be the best documentary guy of this generation. I think what's interesting is that I have a passion for hip hop and documentaries. You know, a lot of the big documentary makers over the years that I really look up to, they're not necessarily people that are into hip hop. Like Michael Moore is probably like top documentary maker. He did Fahrenheit 9/11 and Sicko and, you know, really big documentary films kind of exposing a lot of different things in America. He did Bowling for Columbine, which is about kind of like the NRA and gun laws and stuff. So he's someone I really look up to. I don't know if you know Louis Theroux, the kind of British documentary maker. He's kind of very famous. He's done a few hip hop stories, but he does a lot of stuff. He'll go to San Quentin prison. He's met with the KKK. He's met with the like different just fringe groups from all around. He met with evangelical Christians. So like, it's like me trying to take that energy of people that are really good at making documentaries that really tell the history of interesting places and people, but focusing it on hip-hop, because that's my passion. I got a passion for hip-hop and, you know, all the different subgenres of hip-hop, gangster rap, drill music. You know, I'm just trying to, like, take that documentary approach to the stuff that I'm personally interested in. And I would love to get a Netflix deal. You know, I would love to be on, to take what I do to Netflix, improve the production of these stories, make it a bigger and better thing, and, mm-hmm. and you know, just tell the most important hip-hop stories the best way. Because for me, I know people like to critique what I do, and I understand, but it's like, for me, I'm just a super fan of hip-hop. I want to tell the best hip-hop stories I possibly can. Like, I'd love to go on Netflix and do a new school Tupac Biggie documentary on Netflix with Tupac, a big budget. Tupac. A new Tupac and Biggie documentary, you know, on Netflix, do a new era, a new school look, a reimagining of that. Like, for me, that's something that I want to do for other hip-hop fans, other people that are interested in these stories, that want to kick back and learn the history over a course of 2-3 hours. That's what my passion is, to bring this stuff to the forefront. And Netflix, that's a big dream of mine. So hopefully one day.
Netflix, holla at us, man. Because the viral way, we trying to do something with Netflix as well. We need that doc coming. You feel me? My man, he can do the doc. Holla at us. Let's get something going. You feel me? For the new generation.
No, right? And like, for example, right? So, and they don't know it yet, right? But I've been like securing like a place, right? Because we about to start doing like this Pop the Balloon shit, right? You feel me? Right. Probably listen, right? Like, I'm thinking, yo, we can do it on like a new channel. You feel me? And, you know, like, cause, bro, like, cause like, I'm trying to like do like more real life, right? Cause like, doing like the in house shit behind your computer shit, bro, it's starting to get boring. And like, I feel like the audience is starting to like tap out, right? So now I feel like, you know, instead of like the street shit now, bro, I'm trying to like transition, right? Like, leave the street shit alone, leave the gangster shit alone, bro. Cause
some sponsors.
You feel me?
So you wanna pop balloons?
Listen, us, right? Yes, right?
Get them sponsors, yeah.
No, right? Look, right? Because look, I talked to like Doughboy, right? Because he invited me onto like his like office and shit. I think this was like last month, right? And he said, listen, Flacco, I've been talking to, you know, a lot of people, bro, right? I'm trying to fuck with you and do some comedy shit with you. You know, like, I'm trying to bring you on these, like, networks, filming, right? Like, MTV, shit like that, right? But, like, bro, I can't bring you on this, on these shits, bro. If you going on, like, these platforms talking about, like, death to rappers, right? You feel me? And we're shit like that, right? Yo, bro, just leave the gang shit alone, bro, right? Just leave it alone, bro. And I promise you, bro, like, we'll work. So, yeah, bro. So, after I'm done with that shit, bro.
Isn't that being, like, the dude you said earlier?
What?
Like you said, the dude is just conforming to being the good club or whatever, the good boys club. It sounds like that's what you're doing. If you got a passion for this,
yeah.
But you doing it to get in certain doors, it sounds like you doing the same thing in a way, right?
But he said...
One, it's here, right? But here's the difference, right? Like for example, like my opinions on shit that matters won't change. But yo, if I got to like stop the vulgar shit, right? And shit that I... Like honestly, bro, like... right? Again, yo, if I gotta stop the vulgar shit and shit that I honestly don't give a fuck about like that, bro, you feel me? Right? Hey, listen, I have no problem. Let's be clear here, bro. I have no problem selling out to a degree, meaning, bro.
Don't sell out to a degree. You'll be at a Diddy party.
Nah, listen, man. To a degree, meaning, hey, bro, listen, man, you feel me? If I gotta only halfway coon, right? You feel me? Right? And not fully cooned the whole way.
Hey, bleep them words out, man. Oh,
yeah,
you know you can't say that shit on YouTube,
man. Yeah.
Hey, he not finna halfway nothing. Cut all the way, whatever they talking about.
He's
man.
Talking about that stand strong, burn the building down. Yeah, he's trying to get in the building. He's not burning down shit.
The man he was talking about getting knocked off, you know what I mean? He might be in the same
That ain't
boat.
The building, though. That's us doing some comedic shit, independent shit, but some good shit, right? I can never, like, take a full-time gig with MTV. Right? Or Viacom, right? Because just me knowing, like, my mindset, bro, I'm trying to burn this shit down, right? Listen, like, but I'm full. Right,
but
listen,
it sounds like as soon as any bigger bag come, you're willing to jump in and do whatever they say. Why you still couldn't do both? If he had to stop you from who you are, what made you, what your fans fuck with you for, now you got to completely stop doing that shit.
No.
But it's good you stopping on the street shit. That is good. Yeah. But at the same time,
commend you on that.
You're gonna jump in any lane that presents itself. So now you're just like, what are you doing? You riding the wave or just whatever's coming?
Hey, look,
whatever's life opening up to you.
We running out of time?
Yeah, damn right.
Ross. Quick question. Yeah. Are you doing the Diddy doc?
So I recently did a short video on the beef between 50 Cent and Diddy and how 50 Cent basically plotted on Diddy's downfall for like over 20 years. Mm. Now, I did that documentary. That was about an hour and a half. Sort of as like a teaser to just see, okay, would you guys fuck with a bigger Diddy documentary? I low-key didn't think people would even be interested in that video because I was thinking, well, it's kind of about 50 Cent. It's different. That's actually the video that's up on screen right now.
Oh, okay.
That video's been really successful. People have really enjoyed hearing that side of the story. So I'm definitely working on a Diddy documentary, but I'm just waiting. Like, originally I was like, let me wait until he gets charged. Now he's been charged. So I'm like, okay, but I feel like there's more charges coming. I think there's going to be a superseding indictment. So we're about to start work on
more charges or the freak-off tapes you waiting on?
Oh, well, I'm hearing the freak-off tapes. Okay, let me...
He waiting on that footage to drop.
While we're here, everyone's been talking about, apparently there's a freak-off tape that's been circulating, right? You heard about this?
Nah, I ain't heard about that. Put us on game.
People been saying, this is the story, people been saying that the freak-off tape has someone more famous than Diddy in it.
Yeah.
Who do you think it is? Because I got a theory.
I heard it was a high-ranking politician.
Who do you think it is?
This is just my opinion. I'm not libeling anybody. I don't want to get
sued. This is all alleged.
This is completely alleged. Completely non-like. I think it's Justin Bieber.
Nah, I don't think. Do you think he's bigger than Diddy?
Bieber ain't bigger than Diddy.
Slightly Diddy.
He's not bigger than Diddy.
Diddy been in the game too fucking long. Like,
Diddy groomed him in the
outside
game.
Outside of hip, outside facts.
We already know.
Of hip hop though, I feel like Bieber's bigger.
Yeah, I still don't think so.
Hell no, Diddy way bigger than Bieber in all aspects of everything.
They said like a more high profile person.
I feel
person.
Like in the mainstream, if you're a writer working for CNN, you'd probably be like, oh, Bieber's somebody.
Fuck
big.
Everybody knows Diddy. Diddy is.
Diddy put in too much time. And I hope none of this is true. I hope they just got a bunch of tapes of people getting fucked and that's it. Cause ain't none of that a crime. Cause I don't like to see the greats in hip hop. That puts a black eye on hip hop. I don't know why all y'all rooting for this shit because Diddy's still from hip hop and hip hop is still black culture. So that is just more ammo for them to say, yeah, them fucking degenerates, you see what they, bro, I hope this shit's not true. I hope all these rumors with these other names they saying, I hope none of this is true because that's going to put a black eye on us as people, you dumb motherfuckers, wake the fuck up. But yeah, we'll see as the details.
Yo, bro, I feel like Bieber was a cop out, man. What's your real answer?
No, I
heard it was a
Bieber.
Politician.
Because, that's what I think it is.
Because I heard it was a high-ranking politician.
Trump tape. I've heard there's a Trump tape.
They done said it's an Obama tape. We've seen them at the parties. They throwing a lot of fucking names. I just don't like throwing dirt on people without the facts.
I
think the names they worry about is the faces we do not see. So I think it's way deeper than all these people that's
like
forefront right now still moving around. That's a big possibility.
That's a big name.
You know, they had him on camera. He didn't want to say shit.
Even if it is true, though, listen, like, for example, right? Yo, and I hate how fake the culture is, right? Because people is treating Diddy.
We got one minute.
Yeah, right? For example, yo, he's been accused of pimping hoes and slapping bitches. That's like every rapper.
There's more coming.
The biggest thing they keep saying is the kids shit. Even though we haven't seen that's the main thing. Other than that, they all agree to that bullshit.
Yeah.
Until you see a tape, it's a rumor. I'm going to say that.
I think there's going to be a superseding indictment. The kid stuff, that's the thing. When you read the indictment now, it's like, this ain't that bad. This is like more prostitution type stuff. But now there's these rumors. I think if another indictment drops, it's going to have some crazy stuff in it, man.
We're going to wait and we're going to see. We're going to be on the lookout. Look for Trap Lord Ross, new documentary about the West Coast coming out. Definitely tap into that. You might see some viral on there. But go follow my boy channel. Go follow Flocko channel. Mm-hmm. Flocko, I do like your idea about the real life shit because I'm definitely trying to get up out this motherfucking studio and do some real shit. So y'all stay tuned. We got some viral shit coming soon. Share, like, subscribe to the channel. Follow everybody up here on the cast. Y'all will see us working again soon, man. The viral way. Bang.
Ain't no handouts, I did it from the ground up. In the streets, thuggin' hardest where they found us. Got a problem, nigga, watch my troopers mount up. My bitches bang too, and you a lame though. You niggas ain't outside, yeah, we came through. You want your lights up?